If you have your Bible this morning, open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are continuing our study of this letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. As we pick back up in this letter, it's good for us to remind ourselves of the progression of Paul's teaching that we have seen so far on the aspect of godly wisdom versus human wisdom. Paul first is addressing this issue because, as we saw in chapter 1, verse 11, he has received a report from Chloe's people that there are actually factions or divisions within the church of Corinth, and those factions or divisions are quarreling with one another. This quarreling, this arguing with one another, this bickering with one another, we discovered, is occurring because the members of the church have divided themselves according to who their favorite church leader or who their favorite pastor is. Each faction believed that because of their association with or their loyalty to a certain pastor or church leader, that made them superior to other church members. Well, Paul, having received this report and heard about these things, now confronts their issue. He confronts their division by telling them, human wisdom has led you to do this, and human wisdom is only good for one thing in the church, dividing the church and dividing Christians and causing all kinds of issues. So Paul says, if you want unity within your church there in Corinth, and still today, if any church today wants unity in the church, Paul says, you need to look to Christ, because it is Christ who unites the church, and you need to pursue godly wisdom, which is superior to the human wisdom you are employing and following in your life at this moment. As Paul begins to teach the Corinthians about godly wisdom, he tells them that godly wisdom is foolish to the unsaved, it is foolish to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God, as we saw last week in verse 18 of chapter 1. Then he went on to remind them of how they experienced the gospel of Christ, that their experience of the gospel, their being saved by Christ, did not come through human wisdom. It came through Paul's preaching of the gospel, or Paul preaching the godly wisdom of God to them, Christ, and Him crucified for the salvation of sinners. Well, now Paul will go on to continue his teaching on godly wisdom here in chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, and he will emphasize how they have been given the Holy Spirit who teaches and helps them understand godly wisdom. So Paul is going to say, having been given the Holy Spirit and being able to know and understand godly wisdom, the message of the cross and the message of Christ, why are you dividing yourselves into different factions over pastors and church leaders as if you came to understand Christ and the message of the cross because of Paul or because of Apollos or Peter's human wisdom? He says that's not the case. You came to understand godly wisdom, Christ, and Him crucified for the salvation of sinners because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, who revealed this truth to you and showed you who Christ was and that Christ could save you. Again, it's what he said to them back in chapter 1. Paul did not save you. Apollos did not save you. Peter did not save you. Christ saved you. And that truth was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, not by us mere men. So writing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul says to them, and God still says to us today, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised or discerned. But he who is spiritual appraises or judges all things, yet he himself is appraised or judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the guidance that it gives us in our life. We thank you for the instruction that it contains to instruct us on how to live as your people. And we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit who helps us understand your word, to understand who you are, what you are doing in the world, what you are doing in our lives. May we pursue godly wisdom. May we pursue to understand it and know it better and better each and every day. And Holy Spirit, may you grow us in wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God and of God Himself. We thank you for being with us. As we study this Word now, I pray that the message would penetrate the heart of the lost, that they, Holy Spirit, would hear you calling to them that they need to be saved, and they can be saved because of Christ and Him crucified for their salvation. For us as Christians, Holy Spirit, work in our heart. Encourage us. Help us to see that we can know and we can understand the Word of God because you will help us to understand and know the Word of God. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. I don't want to make anyone anxious this morning, on this Sunday morning, but Christmas is 115 days away. I told Dawn that the other day, and she's like, don't tell me that. Please don't tell me that. In fact, in about 90 days, we will all have decorated our house already or in the beginning stages of decorating our house for Christmas. If your family is like mine, you will begin to watch Christmas movies that you watch every year. Our family has a big list of movies that we watch every year at Christmas. One of those movies being A Christmas Story. We have even developed a family tradition in watching that movie. Every night we choose to watch A Christmas Story, we order Chinese food to watch that movie. And if you've seen the movie, you know why. If you've not seen the movie, I'll just tell you the movie ends with Ralph and his family eating Christmas dinner at a Chinese restaurant. And so we have made it our own tradition. We will order Chinese food in the midst of Christmas holiday season when we watch A Christmas Story. There's a scene in that movie where Ralph runs home every day and he checks the mailbox. And he checks the mailbox every day because he's waiting to receive a secret decoder pin. He and his brother listen to their favorite radio show every night, and at the end of that radio show, a secret message is given, and that secret message can only be decoded if you have the special decoder pin. Well, he finally receives the decoder pin in the mail, and that night they gather around the radio and they listen to their favorite show, and at the end of the show, a bunch of numbers are given out. And as he writes them down quickly, as the message is done, He takes his piece of paper, runs up the stairs into the bathroom, shuts the door, and locks it so that no one can discover the message he is about to decode. He takes out his decoder pen. He begins to figure out which letter goes with which number, and he feverishly and quickly writes down the letters. And then when he's done, he looks at the piece of paper and he reads, "Be sure to drink your Ovaltine." And in his shock and disappointment, Ralph says, "It's a crummy commercial." He turns around with his shoulders slumped. He leaves the decoder pen on the counter in the bathroom. He opens the bathroom door and walks away disappointed. I share that story with you from that movie because I think it illustrates well what we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. Because if you paid attention to what Paul says in this passage, Paul speaks of a mystery in verse 7 that at one time was hidden, but now has been revealed or made known to mankind because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The mystery that Paul is speaking of is the mystery of God's wisdom seen through Christ and at the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ seems like foolishness to those who do not understand its purpose, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God for their salvation. And Paul is going to say, we only come to know and understand God's wisdom of the cross through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit is the key to understanding and knowing godly wisdom in our lives. So as Paul is writing here, as he says in verse 6, to those who are mature, that being Christians who've been saved by Christ, he's going to say, Christians do not rely on human wisdom to know and understand God because we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God so that we may know the things freely given to us by God in verse 12. You see, for Christians, we have been given the very Spirit of God so that we can understand the wisdom of God, and each church member pursuing godly wisdom with the aid of the Holy Spirit in their life will be a unifying presence within the church. So Paul says, you have divided yourselves, Corinthian Christians, into different factions, and I don't understand why. Because you have not been given the Spirit of the world. You have been given the Spirit of God who has helped you understand Christ and the message of the cross. And you have believed in Him and been saved by Him. The Holy Spirit did that in your life. Not me, not Apollos, not Peter. Why are you dividing yourselves? There's unity found in Christ. There's unity at the cross. There's unity in the gospel. So stop relying on human wisdom and rely on the wisdom of God given to you by the Holy Spirit. So he's writing to them, writing to the mature, writing to the Christians, not to rely on human wisdom, but to rely on godly wisdom. And the same is still true for us today. As Christians, the moment someone is saved, the Holy Spirit is placed inside of you. He takes up residence inside of you, and the Holy Spirit has the purpose of helping you understand God and understand God's Word and understand what it means to live for the glory of God and for the glory of Christ. So we must pay attention to what God says to us here in this passage through the words of the Apostle Paul, that God inspired him to write as it teaches us about godly wisdom in our own lives today. So I just want to draw a few points out from this passage for us. I want to begin by first noting that we must understand that godly wisdom is not humanly discovered. Godly wisdom is not humanly discovered. What I mean by that is we cannot know or understand God's wisdom without God's help. To help us understand God's wisdom, God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to save sinners, and in salvation, the Christian has been given the Holy Spirit to help them know and understand godly wisdom. The Holy Spirit takes the message of the cross and reveals it to us so that we can understand it, and then He draws us to salvation in Christ. To the lost world, that wisdom seems foolish, and it is a stumbling block. But to believers, those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The point here is this, that only those who are being saved can understand the wisdom of the cross of Christ, because the Holy Spirit has revealed that wisdom to them. They have not discovered it through human means. And if we take just a moment, we can think through this, we understand why godly wisdom cannot be discovered by human ability. For you see, a lesser creature cannot understand a more advanced one. Pastor John MacArthur, explaining this, uses the example of a flea and a dog, or a dog and a man. He, writing in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, writes, "How can anything understand something more complex and advanced than itself? For a flea to understand a dog, it would have to at least be advanced as a dog. For a dog to understand a man, it would have to be at least as advanced as a man. How much greater distance is there," he asks, "between Creator God and creature?" And the answer to MacArthur's question is, we can't. In our own human ability, we cannot understand God or comprehend Him. It is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we can know God and understand Him. Human wisdom cannot explain God to us. Human wisdom cannot help us know God. It cannot help us understand the meaning of the cross and the death of Christ. This is why Paul says in verse 6 that God's wisdom, the truth about Christ and the cross, the gospel message of salvation, he says, is a wisdom not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. What God did at the cross, through the atoning work of Christ, making salvation possible for rebellious sinners, that makes no sense from the standpoint of human wisdom. In fact, using human wisdom to try to understand and know God will lead you to many different conclusions. Let me mention just three. One course of human wisdom, known as agnosticism, tells us that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God. So it's best for you not to claim faith or a disbelief in God. The Bible tells us, however, that God has revealed Himself. He's revealed Himself to mankind through creation, through His written Word, the Bible, and that we can know Him personally through salvation. Another course of human wisdom tells us that if we want to get to God, then we must be good enough. This form of human wisdom tells us that at the end of our lives, you want to make sure that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, and if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you will be accepted by God into heaven. The Bible says that no one gets to God the Father without going through Jesus Christ, God the Son, and that no one is good. No one is good enough to reach God without salvation in Christ. A third course of human wisdom, known as prosperity teaching, tells us that God wants us to prosper in health and wealth, that it is actually the will of God for believers to have material riches and physical well-being, and that illness and poverty are curses that can be broken by faith in Jesus, and that too is a lie. God never promised us health and wealth if we have faith in Him. What He does promise us is that that He will provide all that we need when we need it, and that this life is going to be filled with hardships and trials and tribulations, but even those are meant to put our faith on display and grow us in Christ's likeness as we depend upon Him in all things. So dear friends, understand, no course of human wisdom can help you know the truth about God and understand the gospel of Christ. Human wisdom cannot help us know or understand God or understand the message of Christ or the cross of Christ. So Paul says here that when he proclaims the message of the cross and the work of Christ in verse 6, he is speaking a wisdom that those who are mature, the saved, will understand because they have received the Holy Spirit of God. This is why he goes on in verse 7 and 8 to say, "We don't speak human wisdom to you because that is of no benefit to you. It will not lead you to God. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age understand. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, one thing you need to understand about Paul's words there is that as he is referring to God's wisdom as a mystery, that term mystery in the New Testament commonly refers to elements of the gospel that were once hidden by God but have now been revealed in and through Christ. So what mystery is Paul referring to here? He is referring to the concept of a crucified Messiah, something that was not clearly understood in the days of the Old Testament and was still not fully grasped in the days of Paul by those who rejected Jesus as the Messiah. The truth concerning Jesus Christ and His atoning work that He accomplished at the cross, Paul quoting from Isaiah chapter 64 verse 4 here in verse 9, that truth, he says, cannot be discovered by the eye, meaning objective or empirical evidence, nor can that truth be discovered by the mind, meaning subjective or rational conclusions. The truth that God established before time and revealed in the New Testament through the life of Jesus Christ and at the cross of Christ, that truth cannot be discovered by eye nor ear. And that truth is that God saves and glorifies sinners through the sacrificial death of His Son upon the cross, which Paul said back in chapter 1, verse 18, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. All along, God had a plan to reveal this once hidden mystery. How salvation will be possible for rebellious sinners through His Son Jesus. And at the right time, He revealed it through the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. But that truth cannot be discovered by human wisdom. It can only be discovered through the work of the Holy Spirit as He reveals it to those who are being saved. And this naturally leads to the second point of Paul's words here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that godly wisdom is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Godly wisdom cannot be discovered by human means, but godly wisdom is revealed by the Holy Spirit. In verses 10 through 16, Paul talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, making clear that the Holy Spirit's purpose is to reveal godly wisdom to the lost for their salvation and reveal godly wisdom to the Christian for their growth and maturity in Christ as His people. Since Paul is writing to Christians, those who are mature, he focuses in this passage not on the lost, but he focuses on the Holy Spirit's work in the lives of Christians. If we're going to comprehend God and His wisdom, we need help. So to help us, God has come to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the very words of Jesus to His disciples when He was preparing to leave them. He says, Don't be afraid. I'm not going to leave you alone. When I go, I'm going to send the Helper to you. And as we read earlier at the beginning of the service, He's going to come and He's going to remind you of all things that I've said to you. And He's going to help you understand everything that's happening to Me. He still does that work today in our hearts and our lives. His work is to bring the revelation of Jesus to the church, revelation that if taken to heart would lead the Corinthians away from division and pride and towards humility and unity. Paul, referring back to what he said in verses 1 through 9, in verse 10, says, God revealed these truths of Christ and Him crucified. God revealed these truths to us. How? Through the Spirit. Our understanding and believing the gospel came because the Spirit revealed the truth of the gospel to our hearts and drew us to salvation in Christ. This is the Holy Spirit's purpose, to reveal Christ and the truth of the gospel to us. And He is perfectly equipped to do this because, as Paul says in verse 10, the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And what Paul means there in verse 10 is that the Holy Spirit, being God, knows the mind of God perfectly and therefore can reveal to us the wisdom of God perfectly. And to illustrate that point, he goes on in verse 11 to say, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" What Paul is saying is, no one knows you better than you. Only you know your innermost thoughts, desires, and dreams unless you tell them to someone else. You're the only one who knows what's on your mind. Well, that's true of God as well. Paul says, even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, being God, knows the thoughts, plans, and desires of God, the wisdom of God, and in an act of grace, He reveals that wisdom to those who are being saved. So, we do not come to know godly wisdom by human means. We come to know godly wisdom by divine grace as the Holy Spirit reveals the wisdom of God to us. But then, as the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God's wisdom, Christ and Him crucified for the salvation of sinners, that godly wisdom is received through salvation. It's received through salvation. Note what Paul says in verse 12. We have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Well, how did Paul and the Christians of Corinth, and how do Christians today come to have the Spirit who is from God? It is because, Paul says, we have believed the gospel that Christ died as an atonement for the forgiveness of our sin, and having believed in Him, we have been given the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is given to Christians. Why? So that, Paul says, we may know the things freely given to us by God. But you see, without the Holy Spirit in our life, we could not know more than anyone else in the world. Now, this does not mean that upon salvation we receive perfect knowledge or all knowledge on the things related to God and His Word, but it does mean that through salvation we are given the Holy Spirit, through whom we can grow in our understanding of God and His wisdom. To be sure, there will be some Christians who understand spiritual things more than us, and others will understand spiritual things less than us. But every one of us, as a Christian, possesses the same Holy Spirit that has been given to us through salvation in Christ so that we can know and understand God's wisdom. Now, this needs to be mentioned here because I see it happen a lot these days, especially among the charismatic movement that has taken hold in many countries around the world and even is growing in popularity here in the United States. Paul says here, the Holy Spirit only reveals and we only receive what God has freely given to us. Nothing more and nothing less. What you need to understand is that the Holy Spirit today does not give new revelations that are not already recorded in the Bible. And no one today receives new revelations about God that are not already recorded in the Bible. So anyone who says the Holy Spirit or God has given me a new revelation or He's revealed some secret that has never been revealed before, that person is deceived and their new revelation should be rejected. Paul clearly says, the Holy Spirit only reveals what God has freely given to us. And what has God freely given to us? The Bible. No more, no less. So someone who comes to you or you hear someone on TV and they say, I've been given a new revelation of God, and they begin to tell you what that new revelation is, and you cannot find it in the Word of God, it is not a revelation of God. And you might say, well, why? Why is that? Why would the Holy Spirit not reveal new things? What do you think would happen if He did? Especially in light of what we're seeing in the Corinthian church. And what I'm trying to say here is that the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of division, but a spirit of unity. If the Holy Spirit today gave new revelations to us, that would breed division and disunity within the church because someone along the way would end up thinking, I am more superior than you are because God has given me a new revelation and He's not given one to you. So I'm more important than you. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of division. He's a spirit of unity. So He reveals what has already been freely given to us by God, and He gives it to all Christians. Godly wisdom that has been freely given to us is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, and it is received into our lives because the Christian was given the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. So as the Holy Spirit reveals godly wisdom to us, and as we receive that godly wisdom and understand that godly wisdom because we've been saved and been given the Holy Spirit, one final thing, this godly wisdom is not meant to be kept silently to ourselves. No, the godly wisdom that has been revealed to us and that we have received Christ and Him crucified for the salvation of sinners, that godly wisdom is proclaimed by God's people. It is to be proclaimed by us. Note what Paul says in verse 13. These things, which is a reference to Christ and Him crucified for the salvation of sinners, these things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. Paul's goal in his ministry, as we see back in verse 2, was to know nothing among the Corinthians except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that is the purpose of our lives as Christians today. We should seek to proclaim the wisdom of God exhibited at the cross of Christ, where Jesus bled and died for the salvation of sinners. It is at the cross of Christ that unity occurs. Unity with God in salvation and unity with the people of God through salvation as they become one body and one family with one Lord. This is why Paul has been pointing the Corinthian Christians to Christ and to the cross, because it is a place of unity. But as we proclaim the message of Christ, and as we proclaim Him crucified for the salvation of sinners, Paul lets us know here in this passage people will react in one of two ways to that message. To the non-Christian, godly wisdom is foolish and unacceptable. Paul says in verse 14, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned or understood. You see, because the non-Christian is spiritually dead in their sins, they cannot understand the spiritual truth of the gospel, so it seems foolish and unacceptable to them. They do not possess the Spirit of God who gives the ability to examine spiritual truth. As Daniel Aiken writes, they can hear the message, but they cannot translate it spiritually valuable and wonderful. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, but they don't have Him working on them. Think about it like this. Have you ever been talking with someone about something and they just have this blank stare on your face, on their face? Years ago, after we got married, Dawn had this 1994 white Camry. And it had like 200,000 miles on it. And as a new husband, I'm thinking, why in the world are you driving this thing around? It's got 200,000 miles on it. This thing needs to go. But she loved that car, and so we did everything we could to make sure that car ran. Well, over the course of time, something happened, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And her dad, who's much smarter than me, came and he said, it's the timing belt. It needs a new timing belt. Okay, great. He said, so just change the timing belt. And I was like, do what? I have no idea what you're talking about right now. Okay, well, I'll come up one weekend and we'll change the timing belt. And I thought, you'll change the timing belt because I don't even know where to begin. So he came one Saturday. We pulled the car in the front yard, jacked it up, took the front right tire off, and then he lost me. Because he said, here's what you got to do. Jack it up. Okay, jacked it up. Take the tire off. Okay, took the tire off. And now do this and this and this. And I'm going, I have no idea what you just said. I didn't comprehend a word of that at all. And he said, all right, just watch and I'll do it. So he gets to work and he's taking parts off and da da da. And finally he gets the timing belt and he pulls it off. puts a new one on and puts everything back together. All right, now put the tire on. Boom, put the tire on. Tighten the wheel up. Put it down. He said, all right, now, next time, if it needs a timing belt changed again, you can do it. And I was like, no, I can't. Because I have no idea what you just did. I comprehended nothing that he said that day. And I'm sure for you, you've been talking to people like that. Maybe you've been in spiritual conversations with a person where you're talking to them about God. You're talking to them about Christ. And you're sharing the gospel with them. But they have this blank look on their face like they cannot comprehend what you're saying. And the reason why that is because at that moment, the Holy Spirit is not working in their life. Now, does that mean we give up? And we say, well, they can't comprehend, so I might as well just quit. No. It means that what we do as Christians is we go, okay, they're not comprehending. It's not making its way through. So Lord, I'm going to continue to share the gospel. I'm going to continue to tell them about Christ and Him crucified for their salvation. And I pray, Father, as I do, that the Holy Spirit will work in their heart and break the hardness of their heart and open their eyes and their ears to the truth. Because that's how they come to salvation. Not through the work of you and I, but through the work of the Holy Spirit as they hear the gospel proclaimed. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth of the gospel to their hearts, and until He does that, they cannot understand. But then Paul says, the non-Christian, they find godly wisdom foolish and acceptable, but to the Christian, godly wisdom is powerful and acceptable. We've already seen Paul refer to the wisdom of God as powerful throughout chapter 1 and now in chapter 2. So godly wisdom is powerful, but it is also acceptable to the Christian. Paul says here in verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, meaning those who possess the Spirit of God within them are able to hear godly wisdom, examine it, understand it, and apply it to their life. While the non-Christian cannot know the mind of God, the Christian can because, he says in verse 16, we have been given the mind of Christ. As the Christian grows in godly wisdom, accepting all that God teaches in His Word, and as the Christian lives by that godly wisdom, the non-Christian world will not understand us. This is why Paul says at the end of verse 15 that the Christian is judged by no one. Non-Christians might be able to recognize our faults and our shortcomings, but they are unable to correctly evaluate our true nature as spiritual people who have been transformed into children of God. Unbelievers will, sure, they will try to argue with us and they will try to correct our truths we believe and follow. They will attempt to correct our views on marriage as being between one biological male and one biological female for life. They will seek to correct our views on abortion and the sanctity of life. They will seek to correct our views on there being only two genders and our gender is determined by God and not by how we feel. They will seek to correct any truth we hold that does not agree with their human wisdom because God's wisdom is a stumbling block and foolishness to them. But when their arguments contradict spiritual teaching, they are not arguing with us, but with God, whose thoughts they do not understand. They are trying to instruct God, and that is foolishness. So to the Christian in this room this morning, pursue godly wisdom through the Word of God. Accept that wisdom and live by that wisdom every day. Don't think God's Word is too hard for you to understand. You have been given the Holy Spirit who will help you understand everything that has already been freely given to us by God. And for the things in the Bible that you might find difficult to understand, God in His grace has given the church pastors and Sunday school teachers and ministers and other leaders and commentaries to help us understand those things that we might find difficult. To the non-Christian in this room, you cannot know God or understand the things of God without having a relationship with God. And the gospel reveals that Christ died on the cross to save you from your sins. And if you will repent of your sin and place your faith and your trust in His work upon the cross on your behalf to save you, then you will have a relationship with God and He will place His Spirit within you so that you can know Him and His wisdom and live the life He desires for you to live. So would you give us the opportunity to talk with you today about what it means to repent of your sin and be saved by Christ so that you can be transformed into a child of God and be given the mind of Christ. Just as Ralph needed that decoder pen to decode the secret message in A Christmas Story, we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand God's wisdom seen in the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. To the non-Christian here, the Holy Spirit is revealing that truth to you now. And the question is will you receive it, believe it, and be saved? Christian, this truth has already been revealed to you and received by you in salvation. The challenge for you now is to proclaim this truth to your family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and classmates, praying that as you do, that the Holy Spirit will help them to understand the truth of the gospel for their own salvation. You see, I tell Christians all the time who express to me fear in sharing the message of Christ and the cross. What if I say something wrong? What if they ask a question I can't answer? What if they don't accept Christ at all? And my answer is always the same. That's not up to you. All Christ has called you to do is simply share the gospel. Them being saved is dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. Not whether you say something a little wrong or whether you can't answer a question. They are saved because the Holy Spirit takes the message of Christ and the cross and plants it in their heart and says, you need salvation. And then He draws them to that salvation. So if they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the God that's behind your words. Godly wisdom promotes unity in the church. And dear friends, godly wisdom will promote unity in the world. Let's pray. God, we come to You. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You for the godly wisdom that You have revealed to us in Your Word. We thank You that at one point for us, if we are a Christian here this morning, one point for us in our life, You revealed the wisdom of the cross and the wisdom of the life of Christ. And Holy Spirit, You took that wisdom, convicted us of our sin, and showed us our need of salvation, which is found in Christ. And then You drew us to salvation. We repented of our sin, and we trusted in the atoning work of Christ on our behalf, and we were saved. Thank You for that. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You take up residence inside of us to help us know and understand the Word of God, and help us know and understand how we are to live as the people of God. And right now, Holy Spirit, You're working in hearts across this room. You're working in the heart of the lost person, saying to them, you're lost and you need salvation and Christ is the only one who can save you. Run to Him today and be saved. I pray that would happen today. I pray they would come and let us talk with them about that. I pray for the Christian today. They have been edified in their faith and grown in their faith some way. Maybe they have seen something today in Your Word that for the first time they go, that makes sense. And in the moment that light bulb clicks on, they have grown in their faith. They've been edified and they've been encouraged in some way because You, Holy Spirit, have helped them understand what has already been revealed by God in Your Word. Thank You for that as well. Now may we worship You in this time of response and may we respond as we should, all for Your glory and our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.